Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. The man's back. He's back from his wee holiday, recharging the batteries after helping Peter Head fail to get promotion. He took himself for a wee week off to, what was it, Belfast?
Belfast, mate. Fell in love with her all over again.
Aye. And what's she saying about you?
I was over there for peace talks. Brought everyone together. Me and her are back together. I was going to send her the Falls Road and Rangers strip, but first couple of nights, she looked after us, so we're fine after that.
You're all sorted. Uh-huh. We missed you last week, actually.
Cheers, mate, did you?
Michael Higdon and your pal, Paddy
McCourt. That's his pal as well, Abby and Aki.
We had them on, honestly, they were brilliant. What a double act.
Were they good, weren't they?
Aye, honestly.
Paddy's pattern must have got better, eh?
They made Cannon and Ball seem funny. They were decent. And beside Simon today, we're delighted to have him back. One of the very first guests that we had on Simon's Open Goal sit-down. The Dundee man, former Celtic man, former Reading man. Former Ipswich man. Where else have we gone, Dan?
Leeds.
Leeds United as well. Great time at Leeds United. Darren O'Dea, the Dundee captain, is with us. Darren, how are you?
I'm well.
Good. Glad to have you on. You're looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to it, all right. I'm worried.
You're fine. You're in good hands. We've got some good topics today to discuss. We're going to look back on the Scottish Cup final between Celtic and Motherwell. We're going to look back too on Partick Thistle against Livingston, the outcome of that game. A quick review of the 2017-18 season that's just gone by, speaking to Darren about Dundee as well, and then a look ahead to the cracker on Saturday, the Liverpool v Real Madrid Champions League final in Kiev. So we'll get cracking. We've got 40 minutes to go through. Celtic v Motherwell, 2-0 for Celtic. Fairly comfortable 90 minutes for Celtic, Darren, as they completed the back-to-back trebles and history was made.
Yeah, I've obviously played against both teams, but Motherwell are a team, regardless if it's Celtic or not, they need the first goal. Once the first goal went in, it was always going to be a win. And to get the second before half-time, it was a comfortable win in the end. A massive moment for Brendan Rodgers and the team. And well deserved over the course of the season, or the last two seasons, really.
And Simon, the opening goal from Callum McGregor, wow. It was a bit special, no?
By the way, what a player. I was a bit sceptical about wee Callum first couple of years ago, but since the managers came in, I mean, big game player, isn't he? That goal, I think it's goal of the season for me. He reminds me, do you know what I was thinking when I was watching the game? He's like Chris Commons on Herbalife, Callum McGregor, isn't he? See if Chris Commons lost a couple of stone, and he's so mobile and he gets in great wee positions, and again, big games, big goals for Callum McGregor, and fair play to him, because I know for a fact that Celtic fans, when he first broke into the team, were on his back quite a lot. So it just shows you the strength of his character and the quality he's got. I thought he was excellent again in a big game for Celtic.
And Olivier and Shams go to a nice strike, sweet strike with his right foot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he scored one of them against Dundee, against us at Celtic Park. So, now he's a good player as well. Listen, Celtic, you can't give them enough credit. To go and win back-to-back trebles is incredible. I don't see anyone getting close to that for a long time to come. And it ended up being what it has been for the last couple of years, and that was comfortable. It was a comfortable cup final for them.
Did you ever think at any stage in the game Motherwell were getting close, Simon?
No. I think, like Daz said, as soon as Celtic scored the first goal, it was game over. The thing that impressed me about Celtic as well, and the manager, was they went 3-5-2 in a cup final. I think they've played 3-5-2 for the last six games. But it just shows you the trust they have in the manager and he has in the players, that they can just go and fling in a 3-5-2. I think because of the two up front with Motherwell caused them a lot of problems last time, and he decided to go three at the back. And I even seen wee Jamesy Forrest winning 50-50. Did you see that? He beat the boy. He beat him on a 50-50 wee Jamesy, so it just shows you the managers have got the boys on toast. But like you say, first two goals went after 26 minutes, I think it was. Motherwell, to be fair, I'm still attacked. You know, other teams I've seen could have got it doing 5 or 6, but they gave a good show in Motherwell, and I think the front two of Bowman and Main done themselves no harm and caused a few problems, but it was a coast for Celtic, I thought.
In terms of Brendan Rodgers, Dan, a manager you know well, he was your manager at Reading, when you were down there, is there enough up here to keep him stimulated?
Yeah, there's one thing, and that's the only thing, and that's 10 in a row. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think, maybe half a dozen teams in world football would tempt him away. I don't see anyone else. And I'm talking about the top teams in each league. which is maybe realistic, but I can't really see a Barcelona, Real Madrid taking him. But that is genuinely where I see on only opportunity where he'd leave before 10 in a row. I also think if that happens and when that happens, he will leave then. I think that's his project. I don't think he'll openly necessarily come out and blatantly say it. He's maybe hinted at it, but 10 in a row is what he's here for, and it'll be some legacy to leave.
He gave an interview to the Times paper there at the weekend. One of the
English, I read that one of the Times. I get that quite a lot of the Times.
That came up, and that's exactly what he... the Evening Times. And that was the other one that he actually mentioned, and that was basically, you look at my contract. I've got 3 years to go, which, if things go to plan, takes us to 10 in a row. You don't need a rocket scientist to work it out. Like, after that, you know, you could imagine. And then by then, he'll only be, what, 48, 49? He's not even 50 years old. You can see him wanting to achieve that, because that would be the absolute ultimate, wouldn't it?
I think so. And I think at Celtic, he's got the run of the club. Where else in the world now do you get that at a big club? He'll decide every player that comes in, every player that goes out. I think they're going to spend 10 million on Big Eddie, are they?
Watson
Edward, 10 million, I think they're saying in the paper. And I think he'll get a lot more. Obviously, all building towards getting 10 in a row. And I've no doubt, like you say, after that, you'll be away.
Despite winning everything and, you know, sweeping all before them domestically, do you think Europe will be on their minds at all, Dan? Or do you think the main focus now is just really making sure that they get everything right domestically, particularly if Rangers get it going and get it together and Steven Gerrard gets the three or four players in that he's been linked with?
I think at a club like Celtic, you're constantly looking at every angle. The pressure never leaves from any competition. And knowing Brendan Rodgers, yes, Europe will be on his mind massively. He has to qualify, first of all, which can be tricky, and they've done well recently. But yeah, he'll want to do better than what they have done, but in a style that he wants. It won't be a case of being pragmatic and trying to listen. Celtic under Neil Lennon qualify for the last 16. That won't be enough. It'll be a style and a way that he wants to play. And as I say, I think he's a manager that is that good that he's not just thinking about winning, it's how to win. And he'll want to leave the club whenever that is, with an actual legacy behind him, and he's certainly well on the way of doing that now.
I think, you know, I think, sorry, Matt, I think it'll depend on the group. If they do get to the group stages, it'll depend on the teams that get drawn in that group. I think if they get a Man City and a Barca again, I think he'll concentrate on, like, I know what you're saying, he wants to play a certain style of football, but
when he plays
these big teams, he even admits himself that they're so far ahead of Celtic, and it's hard.
I believe what I'm saying is he'll go toe-to-toe
with these teams. Yeah.
He'll go and press them high up the pitch.
Probably with an idea that they won't
but I think he's the type of manager that would be, it sounds strange to say this, maybe it sounds a little bit stupid, but he'd prefer to lose and lose in a style that he thinks is progressing the club rather than just scraping through to the last 16 and in a style that won't last the test of time.
But what is that doing? Because you mentioned at the top there in terms of the kind of level of club that he could go to next, you know, once the project at Celtic is finished. But, you know, if Celtic are still getting spanked, you know, 5-6 goals off PSG and 4 off Zenit, St Petersburg and stuff like that, that ain't doing his standing any good, is it, in terms of that real top tier level? Or do you think he's already established and that doesn't matter?
No, but that's why I think the difference between the elite managers and the very good ones. If you look down in England, why does Sam Allardyce not get a top job? Yet he does incredible. He gets results always. It's because of the style of play. He's not suited to the top clubs, and arguably David Moyes wasn't either. He got incredible results at Everton and at Preston. In limited budgets, but that's not what you're working in at the top clubs. And Brendan Rodgers has a big team. He's a big team manager. He's got a big team mentality, and the style of play is, I wouldn't say as important as results, because ultimately results are the most important thing, but the style of play is very, very important, and that is the reality. When you look at Man United, Jose Mourinho now, he's under incredible pressure because he's not playing a certain style of football. And Brendan Rodgers wants to do that at Celtic, and he wants to do it in Europe. So yes, he will concentrate in Europe, but he won't waver from the way he sees the way Celtic should be playing.
One of the key areas that most people have identified in terms of what they would need to improve on as a central defender. I know they've got Marvin Compey, a guy that we've not anybody's had a chance to see and therefore assess, but in terms of A, staying the main team domestically and trying to improve in Europe, could you see Celtic spending a few quid on a central defender if the right one becomes available in this window?
Yeah, I think it's probably a position everyone looks to, especially if you're looking at European competition. Again, going back to the style, I think you're going to be a little bit vulnerable as centre-backs, the way they press the game high up the pitch. And obviously, when you go into European football, you can be left isolated with some of the best players in the world. So obviously, it maybe is a position, possibly right-back. I think Mikael Lustig has been a fantastic player.
He's joining the post, isn't he?
He already has, I think. He's got the hat anyway. But he could.
Yeah, he's going to the World Cup this summer, and he's jaded, won't he?
Yeah, I think it's possibly a position. It's hard. Again, going back to someone like Brendan Rodgers, will constantly look to see where he'll look probably at nearly every part of the team, and if a player comes up that he thinks can improve them, then it'll become interesting. But you would think kind of at the back is maybe where they look the most.
And yet the thing I always think about central defenders, Simon, you're trying to buy them, you look down the road, I know the market's crazy down the road, but you look at Michael Keane, 25 million, the boy Gibson at Middlesbrough, 20 to 25 million. So even if Celtic broke their transfer record and something between 8 and 10 million became available,
you don't
what is that going
that
to get you? You know?
I know, but it is such an important position. I mean, you see how much Van Dijk's improved Liverpool, especially in Europe, because they were conceding 3 and 4s against Sevilla away, and now they look like a much steadier team with Van Dijk in it. But 8 or 9 million will not get you a top centre-half now. And I really hope that Celtic didn't go and look for maybe somebody that they can improve, like a Jack Henry. I hope this summer they go and get a big centre half, and two or three players I think Celtic need for the Scottish game to go compete in Europe. I think go and get two or three top quality players instead of bringing in five or six for the SPL.
In terms of Rangers, Dan, just to get your thoughts, what do you think of the, potentially what's there that might happen under Stevie Gerrard at Ibrox?
Stephen Gerrard alone is a great appointment purely for its box office. I can't wait to see him. I loved him as a player. I can't wait to see him. To listen to him, he was a player I admired greatly. He was one of my favourite players. So it'll be great to see. But in terms of Rangers as a club, I don't know. One thing's for sure is they're never quiet. There's always something going on. I actually think they made some decent signings. I think they made signings like Jamie Murphy, Russell Martin, people at that would say know the league or British and understand probably what is required at a club last. Whether they're good enough is another thing, but one thing's for sure, they won't be quiet anyway next year. There'll be plenty of noise, whether that's on the pitch or off it. And Stephen Gerrard, I think, where it's a good appointment for them actually on the pitch, I don't know, but it's great for the neutral or the rest of us to watch.
I suppose if you ask Stephen Gerrard coming in at Rangers, you look at Motherwell, two cup finals, you look at Kilmarnock beating Celtic, beating Rangers. So I suppose for Stephen Gerrard coming in, Simon, he must believe that he's going to be able to do something and at least drastically improve on this previous season.
I think so. I think the names he's been linked to, I think he will attract big names. I mean, if he can get Martin Skirtland on a 2-year deal, I think that'd be a great sign. Big Gaz O'Connor was speaking about him. Did you hear that?
He
broke a bone in my back.
That's right.
No, he didn't, Gaz. Anyway, I think he'll definitely attract big names. And I looked at the league, I think Celtic only finished 9 points clear at Aberdeen. I mean, it's not a massive gap. And I think Stephen Gerrard would look at Aberdeen's squad and think, I think I can put a better squad together than that. And if you can do that, with your standard in the game, and as Dad says, we don't know what he is like as a coach, but if he's half decent, then he must fancy his chances of finishing less than 9 points behind Celtic next year.
Just to finish off, just going back to the cup final then on this section for Motherwell, overall, Dan, a good team, difficult to play against, and they must have been pleased with the season that they had.
Yeah, they've done very, very well. The manager there has done an excellent job, and it was quite clear by just looking at the signings he was making exactly the style of play he was looking to play. And every player in that team knows exactly what, but they know what they're about. And as a player, you know, going into a game against them, it's going to be physically demanding. I've actually played with a few of their players, all really good guys. But they know what they're about, and they did really, really well this year.
Can you see Stevie Robinson just kind of trying to, I know they've just released in part of company a few players that have been in loan, but can you see him try to sign a similar style player and just going to see him again next season?
100%, yeah. There won't be any difference in style. And listen, they played some decent stuff, but they're a big physical team. Plenty of legs, strength, and they know their strengths as well. They play to them, so... No, fair play to them, they're a really good year.
I think they should get one luxury player, Motherwell. I think that's what they're missing. Like Daz says, they're great at what they do, but there's just nobody there that really creates chances for... I always feel like Mayne and Bowman are sort of working off scraps.
Off scraps, yeah.
And I think if you could get a wide guy like a Jordan Jones at Killie, where the other 10 work their arse off, get the ball out to him and he'll maybe beat somebody to put across in the box. I think that's what they're missing for going for 7th to maybe... fourth or fifth, got my numbers mixed.
They had that for a while with Chris Cadden wide right, and then a lot of times he's now playing it right back or playing your wider back. Is he one that could move up again into that role? No, do you think he's going to be
this sounds like it's disrespectful, it's not, he's a runner. He's powerful boy, very good player, but he's not built to play in the pitch, I wouldn't say. And I think I'd agree with that.
Where'd you get that for?
Well, they had Chifchi was obviously there. Chifchi was there. The young lad Tanner Campbell. They've a couple of players there that maybe younger players that'll maybe come into that position. But yeah, maybe adding in a bit of that, because they've certainly got a lot of players that work extremely hard every week, and it's obviously paid off for them.
Okay, well, talking about trying to get new players in to improve the team, it's something that Livingston are going to have to do. They've just won the playoff game against Partick Thistle. David Hopkin. When you look at the job that he's managed to do, Dan, back-to-back promotions with the club, beating Partick in the playoff as well, it's quite exceptional from him, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible, and you've seen it down south a couple of times. The teams have had back-to-back promotions. Seems to be a habit, they just keep winning. It's a good habit to have. It's incredible that they've come up. They'll obviously be, I'd imagine, favourites to get relegated, but sometimes when you're on a roll the way they are... who knows, they could have the difference in the top league is fickle, to having a really good season and been flirting with relegation, so they'd be a tough team to play against, that's for sure.
Were you surprised that they beat Partick Thistle?
No, like Daz says, I think even down south when you're in the playoffs, Daz will tell you, if you've got the momentum going into the playoffs, there's a good chance you'll win it. And I looked at Partick Thistle the last three or four games of the season and thought they're in big trouble. If they come up against the Livingston side, they're going to be in trouble. And I think it's so simple, the playoffs. I watched the two games and Livingston had no more quality than Partick Thistle, but the one thing they did, they worked harder and had more desire.
Yeah, well, Partick played against us the last game of the season, and that's when I thought they'll get beat, because they looked like a team
that were relegated already.
Yeah, they were apprehensive in everything they did, and people on the outside scene, they came to Dundee when they needed to win, got a 1-0 win. It was far from the full story. They were nervous, and they... barring for us maybe been slightly off the pace, we'd nothing to play for, which wasn't what we wanted, but they were a bag of nerves, and I thought Livingston will be right up for this, and like you said, they're with all the momentum going in. I fancied Livingston before.
It looked as though Thistle were carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, knowing what was at stake. They had it all to lose, because you're talking about over £1 million now out of the coffers by going down, and Livingston, nobody's expecting it. No, they just used that to their advantage, don't they?
Thistle seems to me to have went the complete opposite way of what got them top six. Was it the 1 year?
Yeah.
When I was at Dundee the year before, I mean, we played Partick Thistle when I was at Dundee and they absolutely popped it, because they've got the players that they've got, wee Lawless, Erskine, they're football players. And I watched Thistle at the end of the season, and they're banging the ball along, and wee Lawless is trying to win second balls and he's getting bashed about. And I just thought Alan Archibald just completely went away for his beliefs 2 or 3 years ago. It served him so well. I just think maybe found himself 10th or 9th at one stage in the season. They've just completely panicked and changed the way they've played, and it's just totally went against them.
Two questions. Would you like to see Thistle sticking with Alan Archibald for their championship season?
I never like to see somebody getting sacked, but for me, I always judge a manager should go when the players stop playing for him. And I looked at the two games and I honestly thought that the players weren't playing for the manager. So for me, looking for the outside in, and obviously I don't know what the players think of him, but looking for the outside in, it looks to me like it's maybe needs a change. Yeah.
Do you think the board will? Because they're a very, very loyal board, Partick Thistle, particularly to Alan. Do you think they will change it or will they give him a crack at it?
No, I think he'll get a crack at it. I think he'll get a crack maybe the first 6 months, see how they go in the championship.
He deserves that, Dan, doesn't he?
Yeah, I can understand what Si's saying in terms of the players, because obviously when you're on the outside, you are just judging what you see. I think it was a case of what we were saying, the world was on their shoulders. They got into a rut where it's sometimes very hard to break out of it. And funnily enough, you're talking about style of Partey Thistle, even the season before last, they were fantastic. The way they played, they were footballing team. Uh-huh, proper football team. But what they did have as well with Barton, Osman, Barton's a right good player, don't get me wrong, but they were physically big as well. So they had a bit of everything, and they were by far, I know they got into the top six, but you no one begrudged them it because they were by far the best out of the rest, if you want to call it that. And then this year they just got themselves in. I actually thought they strengthened a little bit in the summer. Salmon's not is a good player. Miles Story, they brought in players you thought that'll strengthen them, and they maybe did go away from what they thought, and sometimes that can happen when you're in a bad position. But I think they will give him a chance, and I think he's earned the right as well.
There was a kind of four way battle at the bottom. Ross County went straight down, Thistle in the playoffs. Dundee and Hamilton kind of got themselves out of it over the final sort of couple of games. Was that the right outcome at the bottom of the table, Simon?
I think I called that, didn't I, on a podcast. Ross County, you go down, Thistle will be in the playoffs. I think the one thing that Ackies and Dundee had over Thistle was guys in the dressing room who didn't let people drop to their standards. I looked at the Thistle team, I think Big Osman's the captain. Having played against him, I don't think he's a big one for pulling people up.
I don't think he didn't play against
played, us. Didn't even get on, wasn't playing towards the end. You look at Dundee guys like Daz and Wee McGowan and Big James McPake in there as well, they wouldn't allow Dundee to go down this year. I look at Darren McKinnon, guys like that at Hamilton. I just looked at Thistle and I thought, who's the guy that's going to do that? And I was even like Doolan, who's been there for a while, but he looks like a nice guy, Doolan, didn't he? I don't think he's a big shouter and screamer. And I think that's what Dundee and Hamilton had over Thistle this year.
Was it the right outcome, Dan? Ross County straight down, Thistle via the playoffs?
I'm really surprised with Ross County. I all the way through the season, I actually said it to our players when we're kind of looking and we're thinking, I said they'll come eventually, because they've got a good squad. They had a good squad of players, older players, good senior pros, what Si's talking about there. They've plenty of them characters. I thought they'll come good, and they didn't. And obviously they've ended up getting relegated. Listen, the league doesn't lie. They deserve to be where they are, but it surprised me. Ross County being there at the very end.
So getting back to Livingston, what can they bring? I mean, they seem to have a very direct style, play to their strengths. They don't make any apologies for it in terms of, you know, they get up the park as quickly as possible and use their two kind of big front guys. Do you think they'll stick to that, or will they have to adapt a wee bit in the top flight?
Well, first of all, is am I right in saying the manager's not signed? He has a year-to-year contract, is that right?
David Hopkin?
Yeah, or does he have
a year? No, there's a couple of teams chasing him, so there's an opportunity.
Well, that'll be the first things first, because the last thing you want is to, or the biggest tool they have is momentum. Mm-hmm. But talking about style, no, they'll not change in the slightest. I'd be absolutely shocked if they did, and neither they should. It served them well, so they'll go that way again next year.
They played the one League One the year we were in it. Oh, we got relegated, obviously, but they played the exact same men with the exact same group of players. I think they've only added maybe Big Lee Miller and one or two others. But
Ryan
played
Hardy and loan for Rangers.
Right, hey, he's done well. But the exact same style of play. Get the ball up to two big strikers, and the one thing that I had is they'll be one of the fittest teams in the league next year, I'll guarantee you that. I was blown off after about 25 minutes playing against them, honestly. It was relentless, and I said the wee boy Pittman, I think he scored a couple of goals in the playoffs. Good player. Playing in the SPL next year, I'll be excited to see how he does. De Vita's a good player. That's what they've as well. They're hard workers, but they've got the couple, Lee Miller, De Vita, they can make something out of nothing. And I think they'll do alright next year. I think they'll surprise a few people.
How important is it though for them to keep David Hopkin?
Oh, massive. I mean, even when you played against him, you can see that as soon as one thing gets said for David Hopkins at the side, the boys are on it straight away. He's got a respect about him, he's got a bit of an aura about him. Obviously had a great career, and obviously boys who haven't maybe played at a good level, like playing for Livingston now, they seem to me that they hang on his every word. And if you've got that as a manager, I think you're halfway there.
Well, there'll be a part of David Hopkin maybe thinking, Dan, I know he's Carlisle United linked with him, Morton I think maybe would look to take him back if they could. You think, I've maybe taken Livingston as far as I can, and it's all about the timing, isn't it? About getting your exit timing right.
I don't know. You'd need to know how he thinks. I think Carlisle, it's financially, I don't know what Carlisle are like. Morton would surprise me. I think he'll be the biggest one, because if he stays, that momentum I'm talking about. But see, if he goes, the players that have had back-to-back promotions, anything that goes wrong with a new manager, they're going to query maybe more and say, well, we got us to this position and the new manager didn't get us. So it'll be a very difficult transition to bring in a new manager now. So Livingston's success next year, I think, will hinge on whether he stays or goes, I think.
One thing David Hopkins does need for the summer is factor 50. His face was absolutely beetroot in the playoffs.
And we'll let Simon tell him that personally. We'll relay that message across. Okay, looking back on the 2017-18 season, we're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball in the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, joined with our own Simon Ferry and our special guest is the Dundee captain, Darren O'Dea. Looking back on the season and the top flight, Darren, I mean, just from recent memory, a couple of cracking games at Easter Road, when after the split, you know, five each, Hibs 5, Rangers 5, Hibs 5, Kilmarnock 3. Over the piece, I think Scottish football really, really served up a good product this season. You were at the heart of it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I wasn't at the heart of it.
I was at the
arse. Yeah, the arse of it, that's fair. Yeah, it's hard for me to judge the entertainment level because you're obviously in the middle of it and that's not what you're in it for. But yeah, if you do look back at the league, I think it was a very, very good year. Hibs added a hell of a lot to it, the style of football they played. And I suppose Neil Lennon always adds a bit of colour to it as well. So, a really good season and one you can look back on fondly.
As a guy who's playing two divisions down from it, Si, how did you look at it?
Do you know what? See, this year is probably the first year that
three
on a Sunday.
Three?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is probably the first year that I think I've watched more Scottish football than I have English football on a Sunday or a Saturday or whatever. I watch the games down there and it actually bores me to tears. And then you turn on a Scottish game, the pitch is usually rubbish, but see, for entertainment, it's brilliant, I think. And like you say, the characters that are in it this year have made it. Lenny, off his nut, obviously. You're going to get someone for him every year. Rangers, their situation, I think that's brilliant now, Gerrard. And I'll add someone else again. And even games such as, I watched Dundee versus Hearts, and I thought Dundee were brilliant. Honestly, I'm not just saying that because Daz is here, because they got better after he went off. But no, I watched Dundee for Hearts, and for a team that finished maybe ninth or whatever they were, I thought Dundee passed the ball brilliant. You know what I mean? A Scottish football team, Dundee, eighth in the league, could panic and kick the ball long, and they're passing the ball about. And I thought they were actually better than Hearts on the day. So I think the league's in good shape, and I've loved watching it this year.
Which teams, Dan, and managers in particular, are going to have to improve and just sort of kick on that? Is Hearts, Craig Levein, is that kind of one that they'll be saying, like, okay, they had the problems playing at Murrayfield for a huge chunk of the season, settling into the new stadium, the new pitch, a change in manager, etc. But I'd imagine Hearts will be one that really they've taken a hit the ground running.
They are a team that'll probably have more activity than most. I think Craig Levein went in, I'll say he was in already, but took over and steadied. I think they had 9 games, was it, clean sheets, set records. So I think any manager would, that's the first thing you look at, is to become solid. And at times they were a little bit tough to watch. I think they were, Kyle Lafferty up front would be isolated and things like that, but you've seen in the last Edinburgh derby, there's certainly entertainment there. And I think, yeah, talking about colour as well, he added a bit as well to the league. I thought some of it was great to watch, and I expect Hearts to be much stronger again next year.
I mean, I don't know how feasible it's going to be for Hearts, but it would look as though if they could keep him, Stephen A. Smith as well, would be a huge bonus for them.
Yeah, well, what I've heard, he's earning, he'd need to come to a settlement with Norwich, because he's obviously on colossal money down there. But yeah, he's obviously a player that knows the league extremely well and is obviously a fantastic player with a really good CV. So yeah, he'd be a good one to keep, but whether they can do it or not is probably down to himself and Norwich rather than what Hearts can do.
In terms of a club such as Aberdeen, Simon, how do they kick on or try and improve on what they've achieved this season?
I think there'll be a big clear out Aberdeen this year. I think Dell will get rid of a lot, and I think he'll bring in a lot. Quite often goes for lower league English players, but I think he'll look to within the SPL this year. I think he'll try and take a few players for.
Such as, who would he go for?
I think he'll go for Jordan Jones, players like
again,
that.
Again, he might try to get him last
I think
last
he'll
summer,
try and get him. Who else? He's obviously trying to get Dylan McGeek. Maybe a loan signing for Celtic or Christie again, you know, maybe make that permanent. But a couple of teams that I do worry about is Hibs, because they've had such a great year, and I think they'll lose quite a lot of players this year. I think there'll be a lot of interest in their players. And the other one for me is St Johnstone. Mm-hmm. I think it's the first year they've had not a great season.
A wobble, first time in 4 years. Yeah.
And I think his recruitment's going to be massive in the summer, because I think he needs to go back to getting players that suit his style of play again. I mean, last year he brought in wee Scougal for Sheffield United, and it absolutely baffled me, because Stefan Scougal is no St Johnstone player. So it'll be interesting. They're losing Stephen McLean, for me, their best player. So it's a big summer for a few teams, and Hibs and St Johnstone will be the ones that need to recruit well.
You think Neil Lennon definitely say there's no issues at all over his future at Hibs?
I don't agree with that. I think if players go, the ones that we think will go, and he doesn't get the backing to bring other ones in, I think he could leave. I think he's that kind of guy.
Do you agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, I agree, yeah, 100%. I think it's a good point. I think Hibs have had such a good year, and to be fair, a couple of their players have had McGeek, McGinn. There's speculation around them all the time. Mm. It'll come to a head at some point. How do you replace them? Mm. Even if you got the funds, how do you replace them?
Yeah.
And I agree, Neil Lennon is the type that he's strong-willed. I think he's shown that, so I wouldn't take my eyes off that.
He wants to finish second. If he goes into the start of the season with a team that he doesn't think can finish second, I think he'll walk away.
Where's Neil Lennon standing now in the game then in the UK? Obviously his achievements at Celtic, then to Bolton, then back to Hibs. If Neil Lennon became available or made it known for sure that he wanted out, is he the kind of guy that you could see, for example, jobs that are available just now, like an Ipswich Town, a Sunderland, a Stoke City, stroke Derby County, whatever happens with Gary Rowett? Can you see him being in the kind of frame for those kind of jobs?
Yeah, in the frame, yeah. It'll obviously come down to if that happened, where we go, he'd be in the frame, yeah. I would agree with that.
What do you think, Simon? What kind of level is Neil at now?
I think he's constantly linked to the Leicester job, but I think once you go, you've been in Scottish football, and then you go down there at a team, and he did do well at Bolton at first, but then the way it ended, I think that gets a big mark against you down there. And if you come back up to Scotland after that, for me, it doesn't really matter how successful you are up here, it's tough to get a job down there again. Once you've got that Bolton thing, I know behind the scenes it wasn't great and all that, but I don't think clubs and fans look at that. I think fans look at it and think he got Bolton relegated. And I think that's what I'll ultimately find tough. I would see him getting maybe a bigger job in Scotland. I know Hibs are one of the biggest clubs, but I think if an Aberdeen came up, he'd be in it. Obviously, Rangers and Hearts, he's never going to get them because he's history. But if an Aberdeen, if Dale left Aberdeen, I think he would be straight in for that.
Okay, on what we could do with the clubs in the top flight, Dan, your own season at Dundee, I take it you guys will want to improve, and if you can, kick into the top six next season rather than being that kind of bottom four.
Yeah, it's funny, this year, going into the split, we were on the same points as last year.
Yeah.
And I had a change of manager, and then finished the season, I think, 2 points more than last year. So points tally-wise, it was very, very similar to last year. The difference, it's internally, you can see, is the difference between this year and last year is massive. Last year we came out of the season, I came out of the season and thought we're lucky we stayed in the league. I thought the team was, that's where our level was. And I thought, you're right, the ambition of most teams is to, can we get in the top six? And the difference between being in the top six and being in a relegation fight is so, so slim.
Yeah.
That difference now is a lot smaller, even though the points tally is the same. So I think we'll obviously, as every team will do, there'll be a bit of business done, but I think we're a lot closer to where we want to go this year than we were last year.
That was a big goal scorer that we're lacking, wasn't it? These
goal, yeah, listen, I'm a defender, so goal score, we absolutely, or say goal score, we created enough chance to score goals, but we also conceded goals this year where at times in games where we should never, we made mistakes in both boxes. I've spoken about before, in both boxes we weren't clinical enough this year. We created enough chances to win games, and we were solid enough in a lot of games to keep clean sheets, but we wouldn't, it'd be a lapse of concentration or whatever. So we're a lot closer this year than we were last year, but that that margin of being in the top six and been in it for, it's so, so small.
Do you even take heart, like, in terms of cup competitions? I know the league's a bread and butter and you don't want to go down, as I said, for Partick Thistle and Ross County. It's more than £1 million out the coffers, but when you look at a club such as Motherwell this season, you've got to think Hampden, whether it's the League Cup final, the Scottish Cup final, it should be something that you guys could achieve.
Yeah, well, we were, that was one of, it was a big point made. We wanted to do well in the Cups, and I think Dundee is probably the longest serving club, is it, or certainly in the top flight, that have not won the Scottish Cup. So we've not, since I've been at the club, not done great in the Cups. It's something we want to do well. We got knocked out by Motherwell, who obviously went on to the final, and we got knocked out by Celtic in the League Cup. So yeah, that's absolutely, league is bread and butter, but no, it's something that is always addressed.
Okay, well, moving on from the William Hill Scottish Cup, nice wee link coming here, Simon. That takes us to the big one.
Yeah, good.
On Saturday, the European Cup final, or the Champions League final, whatever you want to call it, Liverpool v Real Madrid. I don't know about you, I just think if there's such a thing as box office, that's it, surely, on Saturday night in Kiev.
Yeah, well, Liverpool are my favourite team to watch, especially in games less. They're just, I think Klopp's brilliant. They're a team I watch loads. And yeah, you're right, it'll be absolute box office. I can just see 8-all. I just think neither team
300-1 at William Hill for 8-all, by the way. Dan's getting 10 bob.
No, I think it'll be a great game. I don't think either team are in the makeup to be pragmatic. They'll go for it. Both teams will go for it. Real Madrid certainly will, and Klopp has shown throughout his career in the big games Liverpool have shown up. So no, I can't wait.
What about yourself, Simon?
I think Liverpool will win. I think they've got too much legs for Real Madrid. The front three are magnificent. I think European football, I think it'll suit them that Real Madrid will come and try and dominate the game, and they three on the counter-attack, I think it'll be similar to the Man City game. I think Real Madrid will have the majority of the possession, but I think as soon as the front three get in that final third, mayhem. Other than Ramos, I know Varane's decent, but he's got a mistake in him for me. Mm-hmm. And Carvajal and the other fullback, I think Salah against who's the left back? Marcelo, who just runs forward. I think Salah will cheat and stay up the pitch and he'll get the bottom, and I think he'll cause mayhem. So I fancy Liverpool will win comfortably.
Well, we'll talk about the opposite left back then, is a friend of the show,
big fan of the show.
Own goal, Andrew Robertson. And isn't it great to see a Scotsman involved at Champions League level, particularly one that's he's a major part of what Liverpool do and what they've achieved this season. It'll be the old tears in the back of the neck seeing Andy Robertson involved in Saturday night too.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. I mean, for the start of his career that he had, released for Celtic, Queen's Park, to play in the Champions League, it's a film, isn't it? You can make a film with it. And even just reading things about him, he just seems like a really lovely guy with a great taste in podcasts. but I really hope, I hope they win it for him, because it'd be great to see. Who was the last Scottish guy to win a Champions League? Paul Lambert.
Yeah, Paul Lambert's the last one that played. Dan Fletcher was involved with Man United, right. I think it was an unused sub. Paul Lambert, Borussia Dortmund, 1997, Dortmund.
And he's been magnificent for Liverpool, hasn't he? He's been brilliant this year.
Well, that's the big thing is, I think Gary Neville made a comment early on the season that he didn't think he was quite up to it, and he's had to eat his words, because he's phenomenal.
So Dan, who would play Andy Robertson in the movie?
I need to think about that.
Oh, I think Paul McGowan.
we'll not get into that one. So what do you think of the game then, in terms of Zidane as well against Klopp? Because I've a feeling, I don't know, and I know Real Madrid have won it two in a row, they're going for three. This is the opportunity to win it for the 13th time for Liverpool. They're going for
six time.
If Zidane doesn't win it, bearing in mind their domestic season, Zidane could be looking at the sack, I think, if he doesn't win in Saturday.
Yeah, well, that's reality, Real Madrid. I'd agree. I think if he doesn't win, he'll be gone. Which is incredible, thinking he's won the last two. So there's a lot on the line, but I'm just looking forward to the... It's the two teams that I'm looking forward to watching. Because
you kind of sack Zidane, man.
He will. He'll be sacked, 100%.
Yeah. If they don't win in Saturday. Yeah, 100%. I remember they sacked Vicenzo Del Bosque about 10, 12 years ago.
I know, make a difference.
He won it.
If he gets sacked, we're doing a programme on it.
I'll ask
him on if he had your free time.
Here's
Tommy Graham. We'll get Tommy Graham to speak about him.
The Real Madrid legend. Right, here's a scenario. Well, it's far-fetched, but let's go for it. Just come with me in this one. So Zidane gets sacked, Pochettino goes into Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, and Tottenham Hotspur come for Brendan Rodgers.
I think when I said early on there was half a dozen teams, Tottenham were just on the edge of that. I don't know. I would say no.
I'm told that Brendan Rodgers had the Tottenham job. Why
would Brendan Rodgers go now to Tottenham? That's why
I'm saying like Tottenham coming for him, whether he took it, but I'm more saying that he would very much be on Tottenham's radar.
I don't see. No, I'm talking from Brendan Rodgers' point of view. He looks at why would he go? He's not going to win the league there. I think Tottenham are similar to Hibs. I think Tottenham are. It's going to come to a head that they're going to lose players eventually. They're going into a new stadium. Do they have money to spend, or the big money that the other teams are chucking about? And people talk all the money and the lure of the Premier League. Brendan Rodgers doesn't need any money. He's got loads, and he'll continue to earn loads in his managerial career. So, no, I would go as far as saying if he was offered a Tottenham job, I'd be surprised if he took it.
I think if Real Madrid get beat, Liverpool win it, I think Real Madrid will go for Klopp for the next manager.
Aye.
Definitely.
And then Liverpool come back for Brendan Rodgers.
Steven Gerrard.
He wins his first
two. Brendan Rodgers goes to Rangers.
We'll get one of the old fan managers back down the road. You look at Liverpool's history, they've won the European Cup 5 times, and when they won it in the 70s, the 80s, particularly 3 of the times, you had Kenny Dalglish, you had Graham Souness, you had Alan Hansen, you had Stevie Nicol, you had all those kind of Scotsmen at the heart of what was happening. Again, just to touch back on Andy Robertson, you know, it must be brilliant for him. Just, can you imagine how he must be feeling just in the build up to this game?
Oh, I'd love to sit and have a chat with him. We'd need to get him on because I think he even had an article where he wasn't playing at the start of the season, was he?
Yeah.
And you know, anyone
played one
else,
game, get man of the match, then was bombed out.
Right, and you think if you come for Hull and that's happening to you, there's so many players that their head would just go straight away, and he just seems like he's got a fantastic attitude. And I mean, he's up against the guy in Moreno, who, alright, he's not had a great couple of years at Liverpool, but I've no doubt he's probably a top player. And for Andy Robertson to get his head down and go on, and I think he's one of their main players now. I watched him playing. He's just constantly up and doing that left hand side, and he makes so many goals, and the way he presses, and I think he's a real, I don't know what the word is, but for young Scottish kids to look up to. I mean,
role model,
there you go, mate. A real role model, he is. And I seen another, he doesn't drink during the season as well, which, being Scottish, is crazy. But
he makes up for it during the
summer. He has a blue WKD in the summer. But no, fair play to him, amazing.
But I think you're right, because when you watch Liverpool play, you can see absolutely that his teammates have total trust in him because he's involved in everything, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. And he sometimes things fit. He has worked extremely hard to get to that point, but I think Klopp is the perfect fit. I know he didn't play at the start of the year, but he's the perfect fit. He's bundles and bundles of energy. He's got serious quality as well. But in that team, you need bundles of energy, and he is just, he just goes and goes. He's quick. So athletic, and it's a fit, and it's I think they love him. The fans absolutely love him down there, which is saying something to make an impression on fans like that as quickly as he has is all credit to him.
Just think, lads, 5 years ago he was playing in League Two, so five years I could be in the Champions League final.
There's a right good chance.
That's my target.
He could be cleaning Andy Robertson's boots for the next Champions League. Well, for Liverpool overall, just before we finish off, are they just a cup to, I know they finished top four as well in the Premier League down the road, but are they just a cup specialist type of team, or has that been a bit unfair on them?
I think they suit cup football. Their style suits cup football. It also suits them to come up against big teams, because you knew, I fancied them against Man City purely because I knew exactly what Sol was saying. They're deadly through the middle, the pace they have, but I knew Man City wouldn't change for them, and that would play into their hands. I think Real Madrid will do the same. So they do suit cup football, but listen, Jurgen Klopp's a good enough manager to want to do better in the league, and I think they'll challenge next year. Whether anyone can get near Man City is another question.
I think what did Van Dijk come in January?
Yeah.
I think if he came in the summer, I think they'd have a right good chance of winning the league. And I think if he can get a couple of midfielders in, because I don't really like their midfield. Henderson, Kahn, Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think they need a top quality centre midfielder. Like Wijnaldum's in there, like but like off the top of my head, John McGee. A top quality centre midfielder. I'm not telling you who, but I think if they can get a top quality centre midfielder in, they'll have a good chance of winning the league.
And one thing as well, when you think of all the hullabaloo that was growing when they lost Coutinho to Barcelona, his name's never been mentioned again.
Incredible.
Since he left,
incredible.
You know,
He's not really done it at Barcelona, though, but he scored a belter the other night. But they've not missed him. But the squad, it's the squad. I think their squad's good enough now.
Goalkeeper's still a concern for me. You talk about. I mean, I know Carrick has improved, but he's still no top drawer, is he?
No, I think if you look at the teams that really, really go on, actually, barring Real Madrid, their keepers are top of the range. Mm-hmm. But Liverpool, they're that good going forward. Under Brendan Rodgers, by the way, they came so close to win league, and they were the exact same. Mm-hmm. They were relentless going forward, and they had their issues at the back. Van Dijk's made a huge difference, that's undoubted. But they're my favourite team to watch.
Okay, well, we are on the William Hill podcast. I know you guys obviously aren't allowed to put a bet on, but for anybody that's listening, what would your prediction be for Saturday night?
8-8.
If you had a second choice, what would it be?
Nah, Liverpool must be underdogs, eh?
Yeah, Real Madrid are favourites.
Yeah, I think for the value, I'd be definitely going for Liverpool because I probably would fancy them either way.
Give us a scoreline, Dan.
3-2.
Liverpool 3, Real Madrid 2.
Yeah,
I was going to say Liverpool scoring 1, and I think 3-1.
Liverpool 3,
Real Madrid 1.
Real Madrid 1.
You get good odds on that.
I'm going to go even further and go Liverpool go 3 up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Funny, I heard Tony Cascarino saying that as well. He fancies him to go.
Oh, then I'll change my
Yeah, good coming here.
Your fellow countryman until they get found out that his granny's birth certificate was
genuine. What are you going there, Mark? What are you saying?
I'm going to go 90 minutes. I'm going 2-2.
Right.
But Liverpool to win the cup.
On extra time or penalties?
Extra time.
Yeah, because there's no way that keeper's saving a penalty.
Nah, I'm going. So you're going
3-1.
3-1. Dan's going 3-2. We love people to go 3 up. I'm going 2-2. So let's hope whatever happens, we get an entertaining Champions League final on Saturday night. I think it's one we're all looking forward to, and it could go down as one of the all time classics. Mike, thank you once again for listening into the Open Goal podcast. I slipped the tongue, well picked up on there, Simon. Keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Thanks to Simon for joining me, Mark Guidi, and also to our special guest, Darren O'Dea. I hope you've enjoyed the last 45 minutes. We certainly have, and I know that you will join us next week. All the best.